And welcome to this month's version of Take 10. I'm Bob Martin, your host here at iWorks, the studio at iWorks. And today we welcome Tammy Cunningham. She's the CEO of TLC Marketing. Tammy, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
It's our thrill. Now, you've spent quite a bit of time, just so our audience hears, you've spent quite a bit of time in the entertainment industry, in the sports industry. Tell me a little bit about what possessed you to go from that background into owning your own digital marketing company.
Well, I, in addition to those two fields that you mentioned, I also spent time in broadcast, as did you in your career. And when we're out there and talking to local business and business owners, just really saw a need for top-level consulting so they could get the services of a chief operating officer of a mid-sized corporation without paying the kind of freight that you have to pay for that. And so there was this need out there. Who does social media management? I don't understand digital media. I don't know which parts of my business to chase. And thus the idea was born and we decided to go for it.
Sure. Obviously growing up, I can't believe it was a dream of yours to run a company in the social media realm. I understand you spent some time in the music industry. Tell me a little bit about that.
First of all, I think the way you asked that question indicates that I'm old and wasn't around.
I was trying to do everything I could
in the digital age.
Just to not broach on that.
For those of you listening.
Okay, you're a digital native. My apologies.
I started in the music industry. I accidentally bumped into one of the most beautiful and memorable parts of my career by being a full-time ticket seller at the newly opened Kansas Expo Center in Topeka, Kansas. And they allowed me to go to school full-time and work full-time and put myself through college. Great people and a great place to launch a career. And from there, I moved to the big city of Kansas City to work for the big promoter that ended up selling. And eventually, by the time I left, became what everyone now knows as Live Nation.
Very good. Very good. Mm-hmm. Were you around then at the outset of the Sprint Center when it launched?
I was, and that is AEG, who is their biggest competitor, but it's a small world. Everybody knows everybody.
Sure.
Those are good friends, and that was a very exciting thing for the city.
Sure.
That's great.
Tell me a little bit about your experience in professional sports.
Well, I went from rock and roll to football, and my sum total knowledge of football was there are 11 guys on the field when I took that job. And I was told as long as I knew how to market and sell tickets and sell sponsorships and all the things that my job entailed, that's where I could focus and the head coach would put his time on the men on the field. So that is almost verbatim what the general manager said to me. And I really enjoyed my time there. So not only was I learning the sport, I was learning the company, which is a privately owned company. And then I was learning the NFL, so a huge year of learning for me.
Sure.
It did take me a full cycle to get it all and understand it all.
Sure.
And I'm still not exactly sure how the salary cap works.
none of us are. Obviously, sports, a male-dominated business. The Me Too movement, very popular right now in terms of some gender equality and issues. Tell me a little bit about and maybe some advice you might have for women who are operating in a male-dominated society, particularly challenges that they might be facing and how you address those.
Sure. I do think it is challenging because one of the things not being said is that women, everybody puts forth that women don't speak up because they're scared, because they're intimidated. I would put forth for me and the moments I experienced it, I didn't speak up because I didn't want to not be one of the guys. So my fear was kind of a different fear, not one of reprisal, but one of possible exclusion. We can't say that. Tammy's in the room. And so I chose to bypass saying something. But I feel like I made that active choice weighing both things.
So it wasn't a compromise for you in your mind.
Right. It was this is what I want to do and how I want to present in regard to that. I wanted to be able to let there be a little bit of locker room humor in the room when I was there and not be the wet blanket. You know me, I have a sense of humor anyway. So, but it was very clearly my choice to do that. And I have been lucky enough to work for organizations had I said something that I do think something would have been done. Do I believe that some people were particularly obtuse or inappropriate and should have known better? Yes. And I'm sure the same can be true with the sexes reversed in areas. I do think before you start to throw those stones, and one of the things I'm worried about with the movement right now is make sure that the situation warrants saying something too, because some of the stories I'm starting to hear now where somebody, you know, had a bad date and, you know, the guy maybe was a bit Neanderthalish. I'm not sure that that warrants the same thing. And you have a responsibility to other people's career and the way that they're perceived too. So my advice to young women is to really think about your situation, really think about what's creating it. And if you're truly uncomfortable and it's keeping you up at night, it's weighing heavily on you, it's affecting your life, you need to say something. And I would start with that something in HR versus with a supervisor and ask for the supervisor to come in. Usually having someone there to mediate and help facilitate it, in my experience, keeps it from becoming explosive.
Sure. So sort of the follow-up to that, as you left that industry and decided to go out and start your own business, what unique challenges do you feel you've confronted being a woman entrepreneur, a female entrepreneur?
So far, I'd have to say that actually having worked in all those areas that came before have provided me an unbelievable networking opportunity. And almost every company that I'm doing business with is either someone I've directly done business with before or a referral from somebody that I've done so with. And I do think networking is a very, very underrated skill set. Big fan of it. So I would say that it's certainly helped our company's business model. And I would say that there's just as much opportunity out there being female as, I mean, for instance, we qualify as a minority-owned business. And so there's opportunities there where you might have a better shot at the piece of the pie than your counterpart, sure, who's a middle-aged white, you know?
Yeah.
You're the persecuted class now, Bob. No one wants you guys. So I have not had any negative experience yet on that, for which I'm grateful.
Yeah, poor, poor, pitiful me, that's for sure. You spent some time in broadcast media. We talked about off mic that it was less than a stimulating experience for you. What about these, you know, we're home to, where we sit directly, almost directly between two of the best journalism schools in the country. What would you tell budding journalists that are looking at Mizzou or looking at KU? What would you tell them about considering traditional media as a career choice?
Well, the first thing that I would say is there's a big difference between journalism and what I was doing in broadcast. So I found sales to be a little bit too restrictive of a box, and in fairness to that industry, I came from maybe two of the most creative situations you could have, professional football and the music industry. So my scope of evaluation might have been a bit skewed.
Fair enough.
I think what I would say to the journalists is just be prepared for your medium to be forever changing, and be prepared to work really, really hard, because now in those type of businesses, they want you to find the story, script the story, shoot the story, edit the story. Oh yeah, and you're the reporter.
Sure.
The days of a talking head handed the notes or reading the teleprompter are over. Sure. So they have to be very multi-talented, and they have to have a great work discipline.
Convergent media, I get it. Yep. We talk a lot in the entrepreneurial world about what keeps us up at night. What gets you up in the morning?
I love what I do, and I love working with people, and I will tell you right now, it's very rewarding. I just had a customer send me a text a couple weeks ago saying, I have been lost on this. Having you and your team help me navigate it to be more successful, to have more confidence in what I'm doing on the marketing front has really been a godsend. I can tell you that I never got a text like that working for someone else.
That's fantastic.
And that's great.
Great. Yes, Lane's thanks. Telling me we're down to 60 seconds. You know what that means? It's time for our non-maudlin question. And here's yours. If you could have a drink with any person who you've never met, who would it be and why?
I don't know. It would have been someone in music. I'm out of time, but no, it would have been
someone. You're still recording, right?
Yeah. Oh, then, I'm sorry.
But then
we
can edit. Yeah. We know that we've got to wrap up, but then if we got to go, we go ahead and find some places to compress time.
Yeah.
I probably would have wanted to sit down and have a drink with Elvis Presley. I love music, and that's an icon that, and somebody whose music I believe is timeless, probably would have wanted to sit down and talk with him.
That's great. Tammy Cunningham, CEO of TLC Marketing, thank you so much for taking 10 with us. We'll be back again next month where our guest will be. We have no idea. In any case, we'll see you all then. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.